there's a certain intimacy to becoming a true student, a student of the manner of the way. There are so many things that are hidden within us, things we overlook, that makes it absolutely impossible for us to enter into the practice, to awaken. You have them deep inside you. They may be obvious to other people, but they're probably not obvious to you. The value of session work is to come to that place where the reveal can happen, where what has been lost can be gained, but only if you have this one quality, and I'm going to share it with you. Ancient masters of excellence had a subtle essence and a depth too profound to comprehend. Because they were impossible to comprehend, I will try to describe them by their appearance. Cautious, like crossing a river in the winter. Wary, as if surrounded by strangers. Dignified, like a guest. Yielding like ice about to melt. Simple like uncarved wood. Open like a valley. And obscure like muddy waters. To understand all of this, I must regain a quality that maybe I never had, but most people did have. It's called innocence. Innocence is defined by a lack of guile, corruption. We are filled with guile and corruption. We have a motive for everything. I was doing a gestalt on a student in November. And I asked him what his motive was for living. And because he's such an honest person, he said, I just want people to like me. I have had other students who said, I want people to revere me, to respect me. And yet, these people who want people to revere them and respect them have done nothing to allow that to happen. They hide their low self-esteem, their anger with guile. They've been corrupted by the idea that happiness is something that you gain and earn in this world. They don't see what the authentic is all about, the excellence, the subtle essence. It's too profound for them to comprehend. So Lhotse talks about what it looks like from his ancient point of view. Cautious, wary, dignified, yielding, simple, open, and obscure. This makes no sense to most people. You can't take him literally. You have to go beyond the comprehension of your guile and corruption. We are corrupted by the way we were raised, our assumptions and presumptions, how society moves, what trends are popular. We are corrupted by the whole idea of our greed. It is like the red cape that the bull goes through. But with us, this corruption has become a lifestyle. We don't understand the meaning of simplicity anymore. It is not something that we even comprehend, can even fathom. It's unfathomable. What does it mean to live without guile? To support our corruption? What does that mean? Everybody reaches their end point in the work. It's a place where guile and corruption are revealed. And a person understands, I can't live without this guile, without this corruption in me. It is the foundation of my survival. And when it gets to that point, that's when a person no longer is a student or leaves the practice to go and live a life of karmic self-destruction, where we live in the anticipation of our ignorance. So we have to have guile and corruption, consequence. We live to face consequence day in, day out. We don't understand where we live. This earthly existence we have no awareness of. Why we are here. We're wary of things that would bring us insight and love. But because we are so filled with guile, we just don't let ourselves be revealed. It's too shameful. You are not the person you may think you are. You may think you're wonderful. You may think you're awful. Neither one of these are true and have nothing to do with the meaning of your life. These are traits that come from the guile of your DNA, which is only seeking self-preservation. People are threatened by the Tao because there is no guile to it, no strategy. There's no protection. And people want that. They want to think they're walking on the right side of the street. So they will be rewarded and protected in some manner and way. We have all sorts of silliness going on within us. There is a Zen master that I dearly love. And if I were to be in the presence of this man, he was without guile. He was without corruption. People would have said he's stupid, but he wasn't. He was innocent because he did not have the enthusiasm for deception that we often have. His name was Roiken. And the stories of his life have always moved me very deeply because they were stories of innocence, not stupidity, innocence. He had a very wide and beautiful demeanor about him. He had an innocent mind. It would never dawn on him that someone was trying to hurt him. Walking home one day after begging, he had a few coins and wondered why people were so happy when they found money along the roadside. So he decided to experiment. He threw his money on the ground and then picked it up. "This is strange," he thought. "I'm not happy." He dropped the money again and picked it up. He again thought, "I am not happy. Why do people find this to be a point of happiness?" So he took his money and he threw it up in the air a third time, and he was careless, and he lost some of it in the grass. He began to look around for it desperately. "Oh, now I understand." He had a simple mind that revealed to him what was going on. "Oh, now I understand. I've had to put myself in precarious positions just to do the very same thing that Roykin did. Being a teacher is a precarious situation." Trying to reveal something that most people do not understand. They don't have the innocence to understand it. A simple mind, a mind no longer in conflict with itself. Lhotse describes that when he says, "Cautious, like crossing a river in the winter, yielding like ice about to melt." You see, when you really understand, it is because you are innocent again. You are born in innocence. You are no longer corrupted by desire, logic, reasoning, ambition, and pride. You no longer apply the guile to try to deceive yourself and other people about who and what you really are all about. I know a couple of people. I've left them behind years and years ago. One of them contacted me recently. He was filled with guile. He's filled with corruption. He made a lot of money in the computer industry. And now he is facing something that is bigger than his career. His corruption was more, more, more. He always wanted more. This was not enough. Always more. Well, something occurred within his life that made all of that look obsolete. And his guile that got him his fortune was no longer useful. In fact, in the face of his problem that he has created through the corruption of his desires, he has become weak, inept, something he didn't want anyone to know about himself. This became very difficult for him to deal with. He didn't have that childlike innocence. So in order to help him, he would have to surrender his guile. But he couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. What other people thought of him, what he thought of himself via his parents, who are long dead, he still continues his mischief. You have to have an innocence, a place within you where yielding is like ice about to melt, to give up the guile, to give up the deception, to give up the foolishness. I want to return to Roik in a moment. It is said that he was a beautiful man, and his innocence was beyond compare. He used to play with the children when he would come into town to beg for money. One day he was playing hide-and-go-seek with the children, and he was hiding in an outhouse. All the children got together and decided to play a trick on Roiken, so they took off and went home. Roiken stayed all afternoon and all night in that outhouse, and in the morning an old woman came to the outhouse, and Roiken was still there. She cried, "Roiken, what are you doing here?" He looked up and placed his fingers to his lips and said, "Shh, don't tell the children." If you understand that story, you understand what is lacking within you. Your pride, your need not to be a fool in other people's eyes, must take precedence over everything. Humility. This is why I say great generosity comes with mercy, compassion, humility. This is being generous. What Roiken had within him through his innocent mind, a mind without guile, a mind without conflict, a mind without self-pity, awakens many beautiful things, and he taught that in his life. He taught it by example. And this was an example. To be innocent, childlike innocence. Not stupidity, childlike innocence. It is better for me to be condemned for my innocence that is assumed to be my stupidity than it is to win many a war through guile and corruption. This is not something that most people would aspire to. They miss. You wonder why at times you don't understand. Why some of these offerings in the Tao seem so obscure to you, like muddy waters. It is simply because of our guile. Meditation is an awaiting. Meditation is a deep and profound kindness. It lives within us as simplicity. And then moving into the solitude of it. Just living in the solitude of our simplicity, a mind no longer fighting, denying, misinterpreting, living in an obscure way like muddy waters. It is only in this way that we understand the Tao. The Tao can only be understood through silence. Silence is the answer to everything. I'd like to meditate with you if you would be willing. if you can put away your guile, your assumptions and presumptions. Tuangzi, who was one of Lhasa's greatest students, said this: "The Tao is beyond all words. It can only be apprehended in the totality of silence." Let you and I share.